WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus. So that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is now accepting applications for the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grant program. According to a press release, the agency will distribute a total of up to $200,000 in grant funding this year. The program aims to bolster the state's agricultural and food industries by helping local farms and businesses improve efficiency in processing, marketing, and distributing locally grown food products. Grant funding applications will be accepted until September 15th. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the release of funding that had previously been withdrawn by the U.S. Department of Education following the filing of a multi-state lawsuit. According to a press release, the Trump administration froze the funding for six programs on June 30th. The multi-state coalition filed the lawsuit in July, arguing the move violated federal law and the constitutional separation of powers doctrine. This week, Attorney General Call announced that an estimated $72 million of funding for Wisconsin had been unfrozen. A Clear Lake woman has died as a result of the injuries she sustained in a recent St. Croix County crash. According to the St. Croix County Sheriff's Office, 42-year-old Ashley Rosen was airlifted from the scene of the July 25th crash involving a semi-truck on County Trunk Highway G. She was taken to Regents Hospital in St. Paul, where she was pronounced deceased on Friday. The driver of the semi-truck was treated for non-life-threatening injuries at a New Richmond hospital. The Sheriff's Office is still investigating the circumstances of the crash. The Washburn County Health and Human Services Department is seeking applicants for a full-time public health nurse position. According to a press release, the public health nurse will be responsible for the assessment, assurance, and policy development of public health functions for the community. Interested applicants must have a bachelor's degree from an accredited school of nursing and a current Wisconsin registered nurse license. More information on the position and a link to download the application can be found on the Washburn County website. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches. It's in big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some areas of smoke. We'll see mostly cloudy skies otherwise and a high near 79. South winds up to 20 miles per hour at times today. For tonight, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. Thursday's high near 81.
Currently 66 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. It is 8:06 on this sixth day of August. It's a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is producing this fine program down in Madison at Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by in Milwaukee in just a bit. First, we're going to bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot for an update on a forecast that is less smoky, but it's going to be hot. And
yes.
It's going to be a little wetter than it has been lately. Welcome to summer.
Changing. Yeah, we do.
It's one of those, you know, we love to joke in the Midwest, if you don't like the weather, you know, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. And I think that's what's made things a little weird around here, is that we've had this smoky weather for so many days in a row now. It's not like us to have a situation stick around for a long time, but change is finally going to be a constant once again around Wisconsin.
I think a lot of us are welcoming that right now. We're a little sick of this wildfire smoke still lingering. It is actually getting thicker right now in the southern parts of the state near Madison. It's even creeping up to unhealthy levels for all of us into the Appleton area. Stevens Point is also seeing levels, AQIs, in the 150 range. So it's getting worse right now in central and southern Wisconsin, as we've got winds moving in the northern part of the state. So that's why it's cleared out of that area much more. And it's still kind of hanging out south and east. So an air quality alert still in effect until noon. I do think that the winds are going to start to shift off of the lake, Lake Michigan, and really start to get gusty probably this evening, early this evening. So if it's not gone by this afternoon, early this evening, it is going to get on out of here. We've got another system moving in. It's already starting to push some light drizzle, scattered sprinkles in towards Superior and the Hayward area. Eau Claire, you could see a few of those over the next hour or two. And then it's going to be working its way through the state. So clouds increasing this afternoon, chances for spotty drizzle, nothing major. And of course, temperatures hitting those low to mid 80s today. Now by tomorrow, it's going to become muggy, low to mid 80s. So feeling warmer than it will today. And we're turning hot and humid, too. Got a lot of weather still to deal with tomorrow. We're looking at overnight, maybe some rain and thunder, and we could see some more lingering still into Friday morning. Friday is the hot and humid day. We're talking temperatures pushing 90 degrees, humidity, dew points in those mid-70s, so feeling more like the mid to upper 90s, both Friday and Saturday before a cold front hits us on Saturday, and then takes its time moving through the state on Sunday. So a lot more severe chances moving in over the weekend, but still scattered showers and storms expected by tonight and through tomorrow.
Ah, but the 90s are coming back for a little visit here. Yeah, right. We have spent so much time indoors in air conditioning, even when it was hot because of the smoke, that we haven't really had the chance to like enjoy the 90s in terms of, you know, what's your getaway when it's really hot and you're not in the house? Do you want to be at a pool, a lake? Do you have a favorite way to get away or deal with the hot weather when you're outside?
I sure do. It's definitely the water. Any type of water. I stand up paddleboard, so that's nice.
Okay.
You know, Oops, I fell in. Or you can lay on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oopsies.
Oops. But I love going up to Lake Superior, especially right now in August when the water is warm enough to actually get in, but it's crisp and cool. And you also get that lake breeze too, so it's cooler by the lake. I love
Very
Lake
nice.
Superior.
I've discovered shade. Good job, Pat. Yeah. I've discovered that if you've got a hammock and you can get that hammock in just the right shady spot where you can get whatever little breeze is there, but you're not getting the sun.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean, it's no substitute for a lake or a pool, but it's not a bad runner up.
Oh, that is so that relaxing. Much. And the breeze yes. going through the leaves and you're yep. just reading a book on the hammock. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or a pontoon or an open Jeep and then just gun it.
Ooh.
So give yourself a breeze.
Yeah.
That all works well, too. Brittany, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's bring in Earl Ingram, and you can get his podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram, by heading over to civicmedia.us and learning more. Earl, let's start with the hot weather here. Good morning. Hope you're well. I know that growing up in the city like I did, I mean, we didn't have community pools, all right? You had to go to one of the lakes and hope that you didn't get chiggers, you know, swimmer's itch. And sometimes you did, and you needed that calamine lotion and everything. But, you know, those lakes were the only thing that we had going. People would go into the Chippewa River or Lake Altoona, whatever. You know, how would you best describe a hot weather getaway if you got to deal with the heat around your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, going down by the lake, you know, I think one of the things that people might miss about the city of Milwaukee is we're on a lake,
mm-hmm.
and it's not talked about much, but, you know, you're not far away from a beautiful Lake Michigan, and, you know, it's a bus ride, a city bus ride away. And you can get there, and it is spectacular. The view is spectacular, and there's a lot of activities there on that lake, and so that's always a great place for me to go. It's very scenic, and you know, I think it's just kind of taken for granted.
Yeah, no. When I lived there in the late 80s, early 90s, the city slogan was a great place by a great lake. And I don't know why they stopped using that, because it works perfectly there. They love to talk about it being cooler by the lake. And they take that not just as a weather thing, but as life. Life is a little cooler by the lake. It's a wonderful air conditioner when you get a chance to get down and enjoy it. But
well, young people especially take advantage of it.
Yeah, very much so. But of course, you normally don't get to hang out by the lake because you're like me. You're working too much. And if I'm still doing at 71, being 61 now, when I get to be 71 like you, if I'm still working this hard, I hope somebody chides me the way I'm chiding you and telling you to enjoy the lake a little bit more often. But you are. You keep working. You've got this podcast going. We're going to talk about Negro League history in a sec. But you're continuing your conversations with Dr. Howard Fuller. And we're going to get into the ongoing problem of literacy, something that I worked on here in the Chippewa Valley, something that is an ongoing problem throughout Wisconsin, certainly no different down where you are in Milwaukee.
You know, I think what has transpired is technology. There's several things and reasons why literacy is such a major issue in this country. America ranks anywhere between 14th and 125th. In literacy and in this world, and depending on who's, you know, doing the figuring, the fact, even if we're 14th, people should stop and pause and take a look at that, because it wasn't so long ago that America was, you know, in the top 3, 4, 5 when you and I were youngsters. And to see that we've fallen that far, and I think there are many different reasons. Technology clearly is one of those. The way reading had been taught, and when I was a boy, it was phonics, and some brilliant person decided that whole language was the way to teach children. We tinkered with that for decades and found out that that was really a major mistake, but I believe somebody made a lot of money off of that deal. And young people have suffered. Clearly, COVID has something to do with it, but technology and all those things. It is Dr. Fuller's belief that the way reading is being taught, and that educators, through no fault of their own, don't know how to teach reading anymore. And so he's challenging universities. There's a new reading plan that he has in place. And for those who don't know Dr. Fuller, he's one of the foremost people in this nation when it comes to education. And so, you know, we're going to continue to have these conversations with Dr. Fuller about what has happened to our young people in reading and education.
Yeah, and it's work that, look, if somebody gets through the entire school process and they're still having literacy issues, it's a very real thing that prevents you from getting, you know, a better job than maybe the lower paying one that you've got. The work that I did for about a decade with literacy volunteers of the Chippewa Valley showed that it doesn't matter where you are. There are people who, for various reasons, either they kind of didn't take their learning seriously and they skated through, or they faced other environmental reasons why learning was not really encouraged and fostered under their roof. And so I would just urge people to continue to support not just, you know, their schools for teaching literacy, but the organizations that try to help out as well. And again, Earl, it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's not Milwaukee. It's across this nation, like you just said, where we need to take literacy much more seriously than folks did for a while.
Well, let me ask you, it's having said what you just said, and I'm in agreement with you 100%, taking off PBS doesn't make it any better.
No. Yes. My goodness, no. No. It is just, we don't even, I don't want to get too far on this soapbox, but, you know, for, you know, when you talk about technology, we have tools that are out there and we're not using them. And in fact, we're removing some of the tools like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS. But even if you come back during the pandemic, mini rant coming here. Not long ago, all the TV stations were given multiple channels, okay? You can go to channel 4, and they got 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. And what do you see on there? Nothing but oldies, old movies, things like that. What they told us at the time was we're going to use some of those sub-channels for, like, you know, public service and education. And why during the pandemic you didn't see more of these TV stations using, you know, 4.2, 6.2, 12.2 to allow educators to continue talking to the kids is a mystery I will never get over. And I forgive, please forgive the mini rant, but when you bring that up, it really hits a sore point with me that we could be doing so much better in our media addressing learning and especially literacy.
You know, I almost believe that this is done for a nefarious reason. And, you know, if you've been around long enough, you can kind of see that it certainly does not make sense that for a nation that prides itself in a robust future, if children can't read, the future of the nation is not very bright.
No, and not if you're undermining, you know, our public schools as well through, you know, things like austerity type budgets. Forgive me, I had so much to say about that I've eaten up a lot of our time. Are you able to hang around after the break and talk about the Negro Leagues?
Absolutely.
All right, I'd appreciate that. Some of you will have a local break coming up here in just a moment. And if you don't get a chance to hear us, come back and subscribe to the show as a podcast. And then you can just catch that on demand anytime. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe as a podcast, or head over to civicmedia.us. Every one of our hours is an episode, and you can just listen back to the episode of that particular hour about what we do. And by the way, the same goes for your local cut-ins. You can head to your local civic media station and listen back to the work that's being done on the local level. All right, before that break, I've got just enough time to talk to you about the Brewers, because again, 5 games in a row for the Brewers. They beat Atlanta 7-2 last night. The current winning streak for the Brewers is 5 games. Their lead over the Chicago Cubs is now 4 games in the National League Central Division. Freddie Peralta went 5 innings, allowed only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs. He now has an 11-game hitting streak that matches the longest of his career. And Isaac Collins, a candidate for National League Rookie of the Year, Well, he drove in 2 runs on 2 hits as well. Jose Quintana starts game 3. Pregame across several Civic Media stations can be heard starting at 5:40. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 Highway 63 Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Junior naturalists are looking at fantastic fungi at 10 o'clock this morning at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area on Randysack Road in Cable. Discover magical mushrooms and why they're so important to the North Woods. The Junior Naturalist Programs offers environmental education for children entering grades K through 6 using games, art, and outdoor exploration. Meeting at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area, located at 43135 Randysack Road in Cable. There is a small fee for Cable Natural History Museum members of $6, $8 for non-members, and scholarships are available. Again, this is at 10 o'clock. Junior naturalist researching fantastic fungi at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area. The Minog Library is having story time at 10 o'clock. This put on by the Lakeland Family Resource Center at the Minog Library, located at 212 West 5th Avenue in Minog. Join them every week for a story, craft, and snack at the Minog Area Library. Story time at 10 o'clock. Strong Bodies is at 10:30. This is at the Lacoutere Aging and Disability Center, located at 13856 West Corbine Road in Stone Lake. This program has been shown to increase strength, muscle mass, and bone density. Classes are held twice weekly and includes a progressive resistance training, balance training, and flexibility exercises. Again, this is the Strong Bodies program at the Le Couturier Aging and Disability Center in Stone Lake. At 11 o'clock, Super Seniors will be held at the Hayward Resource Center, located at 15856 East 5th Street. This is a 45-minute class geared towards 60s and olders and is chair-based. They work on balance, strength, coordination, core, and, of course, having fun. This is at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Resource Center in Hayward. Tween and Teen Club at the library starting at 1 o'clock. More information, you can call 715-634-2161 and check what activities they're going to be doing today at 1 o'clock. Teen and Tween Club at the Hayward Library. Live music, Sounds of Summer with Moss Creek at 3 o'clock. This will be downtown Hayward on 2nd and Main, presented by the Downtown Hayward Business Improvement District. This week's featured artist is Moss Creek. Sounds of Summer, again down on Main Street and 2nd at 3 o'clock with the group called Moss Creek. At 7 p.m., the Village of Minog is inviting Minog residents to join for an open conversation about the future of their transfer station. A potential sale is being considered, and your voice matters now more than ever. The Village Board is evaluating the possible sale of the transfer station. This decision could significantly impact services, cost, and future operations for our residents. All Village of Minog residents are strongly encouraged to attend this public meeting and learn more, ask questions, and share your input. Again, this meeting is an open meeting held at the Village of Minog Hall, located at 123 5th Avenue in Minog, and it is at 7 o'clock. Also at 7 o'clock at the Landing, located on County Road CC, is the Native American Expo happening there. Great cultural experience, learning about the Native American powwow, what it is, the songs that are sung, the clothing that is worn in the traditional way, and they will have audience participation as well. Again, the Native American Expo powwow happening at the Landing, 7 o'clock, located at 8225. North County Road CC. For more information, you can check out the Landing's website or call 715-462-3626. Thursday at 1 p.m., the Lakeland Family Resource Center is sponsoring Kids Club at Doolittle Park in Birchwood. Join them every week at Doolittle Park for craft, play, and snacks. Again, join Kids Club every Thursday at 1 o'clock in Doolittle Park in Birchwood, Wisconsin. Thursday night at 6 p.m. at the Le Couturier Boys and Girls Club behind the LCO School will be hosting National Night Out. We're excited to welcome everyone to our 18th annual National Night Out event. This is a valuable opportunity to showcase the importance of building positive relationships between youth and law enforcement, also celebrating the amazing work being done throughout our community. There will be a cookout, carnival games, bouncy houses, snow cones. McGruff and Scruff will also be there, as well as prizes and fireworks. And 300 backpacks with school supplies will be giving out to all those who attend. Again, this is Thursday, August 7th, from 6 until dusk at the Le Couturier Boys and Girls Club, located right behind the LCO School. National Night Out celebrated at the Boys and Girls Club of Le Couturier, located at 13394 West Trepanier Road in Hayward. We'll see you there at National Night Out. You've been listening to WBZH Buzz of the North, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, head over to our website at wbzh.fm and subscribe to our newsletter. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 8:29.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is again urging residents to be on the lookout for signs of spongy moth infestations on their trees. The invasive species has been spreading across the state over recent years, prompting treatment flights and trapping efforts in the western Wisconsin region. Trees that are infected by the spongy moths would show signs of drought and defoliation of their leaves, which the species eats during their larva stage. If residents do see signs of an infestation, they should contact the agency as soon as possible. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is urging families to get their children up to date on vaccinations ahead of the school year. According to data from the previous school year, only about 86% of students in the state met the minimum vaccination requirements. The agency also reported the first confirmed measles cases of the year over the weekend, as kids are set to return to the classroom over the coming weeks. Health officials are urging families to get the MMR vaccine for their children to prevent further spread of the highly contagious virus. Douglas County residents have been invited to provide feedback on new proposed flood maps for the area. The flood maps were developed by the Federal Emergency Management Agency with assistance from local and state officials. Douglas County property owners have 90 days from August 1st to share concerns or raise questions about the new maps before they're finalized. FEMA officials will then notify residents of the effective date for the final maps after reviewing all appeals and comments that they receive from area residents. Xcel Energy has announced construction work on the Ashland-Ironwood transmission rebuild project will get underway in the coming weeks. According to a press release, the first phase of construction is set to begin in Hurley, with phased activity across the entire project area through 2028. The project will see the replacement of two older transmission lines between the Gingles substation near Ashland and the Ironwood substation. It will also see the elimination of aging infrastructure crossing the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warners told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some areas of smoke. We'll see mostly cloudy skies otherwise and a high near 79. South winds up to 20 miles per hour at times today. For tonight, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. Thursday's high near 81.
Currently 66 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnitt, and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Subscribe up in the top banner there, and you can get things like our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. It includes a question of the week where I ask how Democrat-led states should deal with Republican-controlled states like Texas that are continuing to gerrymander their congressional maps. Should they respond in kind or not sink to that level? Again, head to upnorthnewswi.com. To learn more, time for our climate check. Melissa Baldoff with us, as well as Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. It is nice to have you both here. Casey, I'm going to set this up with familiar territory from me and Melissa. Melissa, how many times have we likened what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now to, like, you know, the supervillains in a Hollywood disaster blockbuster? I mean, it's
been a number of times.
It's been the narrative for a reason.
Because it keeps happening.
Well, yeah, because it's happening. And the most recent one that we wanted Casey to talk about comes from Lee Zeldin, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now we have to put protection in quotation marks, that says that they are going to rescind what's known as the endangerment finding. It's one of the basic building blocks of protecting our climate. And Casey's going to explain what it is. But as he explains this, I just want you to keep the visual in mind that the EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, did all this while speaking at a truck dealership in Indianapolis. I want to say you cannot make this stuff up, but this is where we are. Casey, good morning. Let's start with what the endangerment finding is.
Sure. And good morning. Thanks, Pat, for having me. I'm happy to be here on the show with you and Melissa. So the endangerment finding came out of a 2007 Supreme Court ruling, Massachusetts EPA, that set the cornerstone for the endangerment finding to actually come out itself in 2009. Basically, what it said is that EPA is legally required to regulate carbon dioxide and a mix of other greenhouse gases, including things like methane, perfluorocarbons, etc. It's required to do so underneath the Clean Air Act. It was a very clear decision. It was a 5-4 decision. Found that the definition of air pollutants to be unambiguous. And at the time, this was during the Bush administration, EPA was kind of dodging the question on whether or not they should be actually regulating carbon dioxide and this mix of other greenhouse gas emissions. Massachusetts, along with several other states, sued to get to this decision. But in essence, the Supreme Court said that the EPA couldn't use policy preferences to avoid regulation, but it needs to be based on sound science and evidence, which it clearly is. So that is what led to EPA actually creating the endangerment finding in 2009. And since then, it's been the backbone of several different EPA regulations with vehicle emissions, power plants, so on and so forth, and really is the most powerful tool, for EPA and the government to be fighting climate change in a regulatory sense.
And so essentially in rescinding this declaration, what they're saying is we rescind, fail to recognize basic science. Am I pretty much getting that right?
Yeah, very much so. And I would say it's even going further than that. The new science, and I'm going to use quotation marks there, that EPA and Department of Energy and Lee Zeldin are using is really pseudoscience, unsound, and flies in the face of, at this point, decades of very sound science from hundreds, thousands of scientists in the U.S. and across the globe.
Now, again, Zeldin said the proposal would erase limits on greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks on the nation's roads. Melissa, again, as he said, the proposal would, if finalized, amount to the largest deregulatory action in the history of the United States. He was bragging about this while speaking at a truck dealership. Melissa, let me turn it over to you for any questions to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, the more we see about this, this, you know, just strikes me as something that is, you know, not about the next, you know, 3.5 years of the Trump administration, but this is about, you know, them really, you know, undermining and essentially, you know, invalidating any possibility for the EPA to do its work going forward, you know, for the next, you know, forever, right? I mean, this seems like this is them trying to make this, you know, permanent, trying to make it as hard as possible for, you know, a new administration, a new Congress, anyone who recognizes science and wants to actually get back on the right path. It seems like if they are successful here, it's going to make that a lot harder for a future administration, future Congress. Is that your, you know, kind of assessment as well? Or, you know, how hard is this to, you know, undo, you know, once this has been unleashed and, you know, done?
Yeah. So I want to be clear that if the endangerment finding goes through this rulemaking process, it's going to take several months to actually rescind it. We're going to be going through a comment period up until about September 15th. And there's going to be testimony that folks can take part in August 19th and 20th. So there's time to make our voices heard on protecting this. But yes, if it does go away, then we're taking away the cornerstone to many other climate and greenhouse gas regulations that exist. So part of this rollout for rescinding the endangerment finding was also taking back the 2024 emission standards that were just finished up last year. And basically they're using the endangerment finding, in their words, not being sound, taking mental leaps, to say that vehicle emission standards that were based on it, that use it as its cornerstone, are not possible and that they can't do them. And so this is one part of a larger strategy that the Trump administration has been carrying out since the second term, but arguably in their first term, they tried to carry it out as well. And thankfully, there were roadblocks then. But at this point, it's very clear that they want to remove the endangerment finding so that they can start picking away at these other climate laws and regulations. And you're right, Melissa, really changed the landscape of laws and regulations having to do with protecting our public health and protecting ourselves from climate change going forward.
We are talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. And the New York Times marks that this is a notable shift in the Trump administration's position that originally had simply downplayed the threat of global warming to one that now essentially flatly denies the overwhelming scientific evidence of climate change. The Times writes it would not only reverse current regulations, but if the move is upheld in court, it could make it significantly harder for future administrations to rein in climate pollution from the burning of coal, oil, and gas. Now, we could wallow in this for hours and hours. I'm going to try, Casey, to make this a glass half full thing, or at least get your impression on it, that there may be, because of the ongoing advocacy for a cleaner climate, that even if the government is busy denying basic science, that there will still be an advocacy and a consumer push that will lead automakers to say, instead of saying, oh, there's no more rules, we can race to the bottom, is to continue to embrace cleaner burning vehicles. Is that still a possibility, or is it your fear that a race to the bottom in terms of emissions is going to get started?
I do think it's clear that in many cases, industry is moving towards more efficient vehicles. I don't know if you can quite say the same right now for power plants with the rise of AI and data centers, that they, and with the loss of tax credits recently in the budget reconciliation bill, that we're going to have as much progress in curbing climate change and investing in renewables and making vehicles more efficient, cleaner, without that, without those tools, and especially without the endangerment finding. But I think it is really important to stress right now that people's comments during this period, talking about the endangerment finding and what it means for your daily lives, is really important, both in the rulemaking process itself and when there's no doubt that there's going to be litigation that'll come out once this rule is possibly finalized, if it is. Our very first backstop is to have folks submit comments, show up to provide testimony at EPA hearings that I mentioned earlier on August 19th and 20th, and talk about how climate change is affecting them, because it is affecting us right now. We've all seen and experienced the last week in seeing just thick haze hanging in the air over the entire state of Wisconsin and much of the Midwest. The last 10 years, each year has been the hottest year on record. And in Wisconsin, we've also seen just worse and worse severe weather that's more frequent, much more severe. And so climate change is happening. We're in the midst of it right now. We're close to the tipping point, which is why it's so important to speak out to protect the endangerment finding. And additionally, I mentioned there's going to be inevitable litigation if this goes through. Having people comment and have a public record that this is something the public does not want to go away is going to be important for any potential lawsuits that come forward too.
And we're talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters, along with Melissa Baldoff, for this week's Climate Check. So in closing that part of our discussion, Casey, what would you like folks to do? Where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, folks can go to our website, conservationvoters.org. They can sign up for our email alerts, and pretty soon we'll be sending out more information on how people can sign up for the comment period with EPA, sign up to testify. And we recommend that folks do so as soon as possible. Anyone is allowed to testify. The EPA asks people to pre-register by August 12th. So we're recommending people register by then. And so if folks would like to get more info and learn how to sign up and have talking points and info to make the best testimony and comment possible, go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our email alerts.
I appreciate that very much. And Casey, you're about to learn why Melissa has the most thankless job in Wisconsin radio right now, is that I sometimes read other climate headlines to her and just simply ask her to react and not use any naughty words on the radio. The headline from National Public Radio: why a NASA satellite that scientists and farmers rely on may be destroyed on purpose. The Trump administration has asked NASA to drop plans to end at least two major satellite missions. If the plans are carried out, one of the missions would be permanently terminated because the satellite would burn up in the atmosphere. The data the two missions collect is widely used by scientists, oil and gas companies, and farmers who need detailed information about carbon dioxide and crop health. They are the only two federal satellite missions that were designed and built specifically to monitor planet-warming greenhouse gases. Melissa, In 20 seconds, what kind of a world are we live in where the president of the United States would rather let a satellite burn up in orbit than get data on climate change?
Well, sadly, we live in Donald Trump's world, because this is his MO. He rejects science, and he would rather destroy things to prove a point than to let anyone benefit from, from science, from, you know, they've got a stockpile of food and birth control they're going to light on fire.
Exactly. So there you go. And she did it without saying any naughty words whatsoever. Melissa, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. We'll wrap things up with a local break for some of you. Others, James Kelly from Chippewa Falls after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community, and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. All right, I'm back with Tim Frey of Ignite Dispensary and Cigar, and we have a store right here in Hayward. You have other stores throughout the state. What are the other towns that you're in?
Spooner, Webb Lake, Superior, New Richmond, Manitowoc, Milwaukee, and Toma. And then we have one store way out in Bismarck, North Dakota, which is kind of a long story.
But then you also process your own product as well.
Correct, yes. So we have a extraction that happens in Minneapolis, and then we have a USDA-certified organic ISO 6 pharmaceutical-grade laboratory in Minneapolis with a biochemist on staff that we make all of our stuff in. And, you know, there's no rules and laws that say you have to be that good on this, but we pride ourselves on quality, and we're willing to give, you know, put in the time, effort, and money to put out a good quality product that people can trust.
Well, you almost need a biologist or a chemist to understand some of the nuances of what CBD is and then some of the other products that can come from it, such as Delta 9s or the Deltas that I've been hearing about that are different products based off of CBD, or I don't know how that works.
So technically, a lot of people don't understand the difference between like Delta 9, like Delta 9 beverage, or like they think marijuana, THC.
Yeah.
Technically, it is the same chemical. It's just what plant it is derived from and how it's derived.
Really?
Okay. Yep. So then there's like distillate based products where like oils, like gummies, distillate oil, you know, everybody's like, oh, I took a gummy, I didn't feel anything for an hour. That's a distillate base because it has to process through your organs.
Sure.
Then there's water soluble, which will hit your system about 20, 30 minutes. And then there's water soluble nano, which is in all the beverages. That's when you're going to feel it in about 15 minutes. But yeah, so Delta 9 is the same in marijuana as it is from hemp. It's just how it's derived and the concentrations and stuff.
So what's the difference then between a THC product and Delta 9 as far as the experience that a consumer would have with that?
Not really any difference, to be honest with you. No. In the hemp world, the shoulders have to get shaved off a little bit to stay under that 0.3 with the milligrams, but you're going to have the same feelings from it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was probably more of an artificial additive or something that made it that way, but it's really coming from the hemp product.
So yes, it is coming from the hemp plant where they extract it and then bring it to from crude oil to full spectrum all the way to isolate, and they do a back conversion backwards. That's the chemistry that is involved in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is natural. It's just not like... You know, it's not the pure form that God put on this earth.
Sure.
You know.
So what do the deltas offer that to a particular patient? I mean, it's a stronger level of, I can go to Michigan and buy a THC product. Well, what's the difference between that and a Delta product? And, of course, the dosages between that. You have to watch
really
your milligrams.
There's really no difference. Hemp is going to be just a slight bit underneath of what a true marijuana one would be.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So in the CBD world, you've got, like, let's call them the healthy cannabinoids, okay?
Yeah.
You've got CBD, which is anti-inflammatory, CBG, which is going to aid sleep, CBC, which is is probably one of the most anti-cancerous cannabinoids out there. There's CBN, which is very good for sleep. And I mean, there's 113 of these. So we could just keep going and going and going. However,
I forgot about those different levels of CBD,
it's
whatever.
Crazy, yep. And then you've got your Delta. But like Delta 9, I like to call the fun cannabinoid. That's the one you're going to have some fun with. It's going to help take the edge off a little bit there. You've got Delta 8, which is probably 70% as potent as Delta 9.
Okay. That's what I was getting to, is what these different levels.
You know, Delta 8, you know, everybody, you know, so a lot of these states are like banning it. It's because they don't understand it. But every one of these cannabinoids or deltas serves a purpose. So like I said, Delta 9 is the fun cannabinoid. Delta 8 is really, really good for pain and sleep. THCV, that is in low doses, is really good for ADHD and appetite suppression. Which is really good. There's Delta 10, Delta 6A, 10A. There's THCP, THCO. You know, THCO is the one where you're talking about synthetic or whatever. That's the one that would be more considered the synthetic.
Okay.
The THCO. So that is actually stronger than Delta 9. But I can't tell you, I've helped out a few terminally ill cancer patients where they're at the end of their life.
Yeah.
And they've been able to stop taking the morphine and take some THCO and live out the remainder of their days happy and not all messed up, if that makes sense. They can actually have a conversation with their family. Yeah. So it's amazing in that regards.
With all these products, I mean, it's just as you're telling me all this stuff, it's like my mind is blowing up. Can someone come to the store and someone help them decide about this?
That's what we pride ourselves in, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of these non-reputable shops out there have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know what they can do. I actually do law enforcement education. So me and my marketing director, she actually created, and our education book is probably 2 inches thick now.
Wow.
Just going through all this stuff, you really have to immerse yourself in this to learn, like, what works for what, this, that, or the other. But again, don't get discouraged because it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Right, yeah.
One cannabinoid might work better for somebody than another one for this ailment and things like that. So you got to try these things. But All of our employees are trained by me or my marketing director personally. They have to go through this book. We test them regularly. I'll ask them other questions. And we can recommend specific products.
Like, so if someone came into the store and says, these are my ailments, what can help me?
Absolutely.
They're not going to upsell you to something that's stronger than you need. They're just going to get what you really need.
That is correct.
Well, Tim, thank you so much.
Absolutely, sir.
You're an encyclopedia of all these products, and it's just amazing. So,
No, I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to chat, let me know.
All right, we'll do. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Morning Buzz on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WBZH shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy ordering a halt to all funding that's used for research on any vaccines that utilize mRNA technology. Those shots, many doctors say, save millions of lives during the pandemic. Texas Republicans doing whatever they can to force out-of-state Democrats to vote on new congressional maps. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Well aware of his party's narrow majority in Congress and the midterms approaching, President Trump is now arguing Republicans are entitled to more seats in Texas simply because he won the state.
I won Texas. I got the highest vote in the history of Texas, as you probably know. And we are entitled to five more seats.
But the congressional map is not linked to presidential races. Instead, it's usually tied to the once-a-decade census.
And this is a mid-decade census. Senator Marsha Blackburn announcing today she's running for governor of Tennessee. Smoke from Canadian wildfires still making air quality poor in the U.S. This is ABC News.